Take your Bibles, please, and I'd like you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. These days, I'm preaching through the book of 1 Kings. God's Word has something to say to us. Today, we're going to look at God's offer to Solomon and see what Solomon chose. God gave him an open-ended offer, but we want to see some lessons from what Solomon chose. 1 Kings chapter 3, and let's take time to read beginning with verse 5 to give you the background and the story of what takes place here. 1 Kings 3 and verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." That's a pretty open-end request. And he said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child." He's saying, "I just don't know if I can handle this. I don't have the experience. I'm not like my father David. But I'm like a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. I don't know how to take this new responsibility. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude." Now notice the request. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people." I think he's talking here primarily and specifically about political leadership over the kingdom. Maybe not so much spiritual, although it involved that. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself," then he puts one in here for the Baptist, "nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart," we might call that wisdom, "so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee in all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings, and made a feast to all his servants. Now you'll remember that Solomon was now on the throne. David had passed away, and God had anointed through his servant Solomon as the king. Adonijah tried to take that place, but that wasn't the will of God. And now we have Solomon on the throne. Now he makes seemingly some mistakes right away that plague him later. Before he has asked for wisdom, he marries the daughter of Pharaoh. It was a political move. Later on, that brought some problems. Verse 1 tells us about that. Then he continued to offer sacrifices in high places, which was not necessarily the will of God. They were also used to make sacrifices to gods of Baal and other things. But God comes to him in a dream and gives him this opportunity to make a request for anything that he wants to request. He didn't put any stipulations on it here at all. You say, "Well, that's a great deal. That's a fantastic opportunity." But may I remind you and me today that God has basically given us the very same choice and the very same imperative, and that is to ask God for what we want to ask God for. We want to look at this matter of praying by faith and asking God to hear and answer our prayer. Go back to verse 5 where he said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Ask what I shall give thee. Did you know that prayer is asking, and it's all right to ask? God doesn't mind you to ask him for whatever you need. It doesn't matter how great it is or how miraculous it may seem. God doesn't mind us asking, and prayer is something that we all need to be about, praying and calling on God and asking God to do great things for our church and great things in our families and great things in our life and great things in our country to cause it to have a revival and turn back to God. We need to pray. God says, pray, ask. That's the invitation of God. How many times do we not take the opportunities that God has given us as God? And when I was a little boy, it was quite a deal to ask Daddy for 50 cents. I'd always tried to go through my mother, who was like the Holy Spirit around the house, you know, in that sense. And I'd say, "Mama, will you ask Daddy if I can have 50 cents so I can go somewhere, maybe go swimming or do something?" But it was awesome to have to go to my daddy and ask him. He was a stern-faced German, and money didn't grow on trees, and it was quite a thing to ask for 50 cents then. Young people now are smiling, 50 cents. But I remember going to Mama one time. She said, "You ask him." I said, "Well, all right." I said, "But I'm scared to ask him." She said, "You go and ask him yourself." She said, "He can say yes or no. And if he says no, you're no worse off. If he says yes, you got 50 cents. I said, "Well, that makes sense." So I went and asked him, and he gave me the 50 cents. But how many times are we like that with God? God says, "Come and ask me. I delight. I'm your Father. I want to meet your need." And he says, "Ask." And so he gave Solomon that opportunity to ask for anything. Let me remind you, and I hope you understand this, that prayer is the vital breath of this church and its ministries. This church and its ministries are not going to have success. We're not going to have the response we want to have and the things we want to see apart from asking God. You may ask me for a lot of things, friend, and I can't supply them. But I turn you to God and ask you to ask God. Because God can do it. Don't depend on me as your pastor to do it all. I can't do it. I'm limited. And I know my limitations probably better than anybody else. Somebody said, "I know my good points," and they're slicing me all to death. But I know who God is. And God is able to take care of it. We've got to ask. And he says, "When you ask, I'll give." Now, do you think God meant what he said when he told Solomon to ask, "And I'll take care of it, and I'll honor it"? God is not a liar, and God keeps his word. I've met a few Baptists that didn't do that, but God's not like that, amen? God is not a liar, and God keeps his word. And so he says for us to come to him, and as his children, we have the right to ask. So he says first, ask, and then we know a verse that says, "Ask, and it shall be given." Again, I've just got to say this, and I've got to put it in there, because I know I said this recently on a Wednesday night, but we have a different crowd sometimes on Sunday morning, or a larger crowd, and I'm not talking about prosperity theology, name it, claim it, and anything you want, you can get. It has to be the will of God. It has to be based on the authority of the Word of God. But that leaves us a lot of space and a lot of latitude and a lot of things that we can go to God and ask. And God says, "Ask and it shall be given." For instance, the Bible says, "Whosoever," I love that word, "whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know what he's saying there? Ask me. Believe that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died for you and paid your sin debt on the cross. Believe all of that and be willing to confess it with your mouth, Romans 10, 9, 10, and 13. And then he says, whosoever, anybody, anywhere on the face of God's green earth can pray and mean it and ask God to come into their heart and he'll save them. Now, no doubt there's some people here today in this congregation who have never done that. May I encourage you today to take God at his word, young man, young lady, a couple, you out there, somebody out there, a young boy, girl. May you understand that if you will ask God, God will keep his word. Suppose when I was a little 9-year-old boy and I asked God to save me, which I did, God had spoken from heaven and said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Well, thank God he didn't do that. Thank God he honored his word. And I'm standing here preaching you today because God kept his word and forgave me of my sins and saved my soul. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I encourage you to do that today and believe what God says. You know, I'm convinced that God will honor his word. And he said to Solomon, if you'll ask for wisdom, I'll give you wisdom. You say, well, that's great. He promised that to Solomon. Haven't you heard that he's promised that to us? If any man lack wisdom, let him go to the preacher, and the preacher will work all of his problems out. Amen? No, not on your life. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth or refuseth none. You have some projects this week. You have some decisions you need to make. You have some challenges ahead of you. Do you take this job, not take this job? Do you do that? Do you change your membership? Do you not change it? What do you do? Pray and ask God for wisdom. And whatever it is in life, I believe God will give wisdom. Many, many, many times as a pastor, I've had to get on my face before God and say, God, we've come to a crossroad. We have this to do. I don't know what to do. I want you to tell me what to do. Please show me in the leadership of this church. Show me as the pastor, the overseer, and the deacons, the leadership of this church, what we should do right here. Many other kinds of decisions. And I thank God that he has given me the wisdom. And the only time I've ever run into problems usually is when I didn't ask for wisdom. And I jumped into it headlong without going before God like I should, and always to my regret. Did you know God's ready to hear and God loves to give? I may be limited, like I said about my daddy. He couldn't always give me. He didn't have the money. But God is not limited. You believe that today? God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he just uses a few cowboy ushers to round up some of the money on Sunday morning in the offering. Amen? But God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And God owns the hills and everything else. And God is able to do it. And so he delights in our asking. He loves to give. God says in his word, it is more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you believe that? Say amen. We believe it because that's what the Bible says. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, if God told us that, certainly he practices what he preaches. And God loves to give. He loves for us to give. We ought to give. Every Christian ought to give of their time to the Lord. Amen? Stewardship, that's what we're talking about. And yet some don't seem to have any time. They have time for this and that and the other and hobbies and everything else. We need to give God some time. And we need to give God our talent. We need to give him whatever gifts we have. Thank God for those who blessed our hearts this morning in singing with their gifts that God has given them. They have given their gifts to the Lord. They're sharing what God has given them with us. And we, our time and our talent and our treasure, our money. But remember that God loves to give. But God loves for us to give and give to his glory and to his honor. Now here's the problem. Solomon asked. But here's the problem. Many will not ask. Many will not ask. There's a king named in the Bible. That king was Ahaz. And Ahaz made this statement. God said, I want you to do this and I want you to trust me and you're going to win the battle. And I'm with you. And Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not ask. And because he would not ask, God had to severely judge him. And finally, he really went out in shame as a king of Israel to some degree. Some people say, well, it's just too good to be true. You mean I can have all my sins forgiven? And I can have them forgiven just like that? It's too good to be true. And it can't happen that quickly. And don't I have to go through catechism? Don't I have to go through some kind of lessons for 13 weeks? And don't I have to do all of these other things? You have to repent and turn to the Lord, but you have to believe, and immediately He'll save you. It isn't too hard for God. The hard part has been taken care of when Christ died on the cross. He's taken care of the hard part. All He asks you to do is to believe. But some people say, I just will not do it. I just will not. It's too good to be true. Some folks, after they pray and ask Christ to come to their heart, you say, now, if you died today, where would you go? And they'll say, I hope to heaven. I say, no, wait a minute. We've got to back up. Let's go over this again. Let's read the Scripture and see what the Scripture says. You see, I've been saved a long time, but I'm no more saved today than I was as a 9-year-old boy when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've been married 43 years. I'm no more married now than I was then. Now, a lot of things have changed, but I'm no more married now than I was then. God can take care of it. Thank God He does. It's not too good to be true. But some people are like Ahaz. They just don't have room in their heart. You know why some people won't say yes and believe God and get saved? They've got too much else in their heart. Too many plans, too many other things. And God would interfere with my making my money and my plans and my being successful and the pleasure that I have in sin and all of that. Friend, you need to get over that and say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't be like Ahaz and say no and regret it eternally. Come to Christ today. Don't leave this building without accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, what did Solomon ask for? He could have asked for a lot of different things, but he was wise enough to ask, even at that point, for the best gift. He was wise enough to ask for the best gift. There's a number of things that were listed there that he could have asked for. Long life. He could, verse 11, he could have asked for somebody to take care of his enemies, and all of these different things that God lists there, but he didn't. He showed that he was humble. Look at his whole spirit. He was humble before God. He came before God. He said, I'm nothing. I don't know how to handle this. I don't have the strength within myself. He had a humble heart. He talked about his father and gave his father the honor that he should, and he said, God, I need help. I need help. So he went to God and prayed and said, God, give me wisdom so I can lead the Israelites, so I can lead this whole kingdom. These are your people, and I have an awesome job. Please give me wisdom. There's a fable about Hercules, and it says that when Hercules came to age, Hercules went out in solitude and just began to think. Of course, the story is not true, but he had to decide, was he going to give his life to pleasure or to virtue? And I submit to you that every one of us have to come to that place in our life. Am I going to give my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or am I going to give my heart to the world and the devil and the ways of the world and pleasure? Am I going to give it to virtue? Am I going to get saved and live for Christ and be ready to die? Or am I going to live for myself? Solomon made a wise choice because he chose the best gift. And then God says, because you made a wise choice, all of these inferior things are going to be added to you. Every last one of them you're going to get. Now here's what we need to do. We need to make up our minds we're going to follow Christ. We need to get saved. And the Bible says, seek ye last the kingdom of heaven. What does it say? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and His righteousness. And then what does he say? All of these other things will be added to you. Anything you need, anything that God wants you to have, food, raiment, clothing, material things, anything else, health, any of those things, they'll be added to you as God sees fit. But the number one thing that every believer in this building should do today, above all other things, above your reputation, above the money you want to make, above your pleasure, above success, above all of those things, is seek you first the kingdom of God. That simply means get saved and desire in your heart above everything else to say, God, I want to please you. That's why I'm living. That's why I'm here. That's what I'm doing here. God, I want to please you. Now, sad to say, and I hate to report this to you, Solomon messed up. In the latter part of his life, he messed up because there were some things he didn't listen to. And God, you remember, made it contingent. God said, if you'll do these things, if you'll do what I tell you to do, then I'm going to bless you all the days of your life. I'll give you longevity with those blessings. But Solomon made a mistake, a number of mistakes, though he was a wise man, and we can certainly believe and listen to Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon and so on and so forth and Proverbs. But he goofed. He messed up. What happened? He married all of these foreign women and brought their gods into the kingdom. And he added them to the place where the true and living God was to be worshipped. They were false gods. He accommodated. He compromised. I hate to say that by a great man about Solomon, but the Word of God is clear that he compromised. And he brought in these false gods and allowed that to take place. Now, I ask you a question today. Why? Why would you do that, Solomon? You were so humble when you started. You had such a sweet attitude when you started, and you bragged on your daddy, and you asked God in humility for what God would give you. Why would you do that? I think because he got backslidden and simply got careless and didn't care anymore at some point whether he was doing the right thing or not. Have you ever known a Baptist like that? Have you ever known a Christian like that? If we're not careful, my dear friends, we can get away. If Solomon can get away from it, you and I can get away from it. And if we're not careful, we'll go back to the ways of the world. We'll compromise. We'll do the things that are contrary to the will of God. He ceased to care, and then I believe he ceased to ask God for what he should ask God for because he knew his heart wasn't right. And the Bible principle is that men ought always to pray and faint not. It means keep on keeping on, persevere, do right, do right, do right, live for the Lord. Young people, don't compromise. You get into university, don't compromise. You get into state school, don't compromise. You go back to the high school as you're going back in, don't compromise. Don't change your mind. Keep living for the Lord. Young couples, don't backtrack. Keep living for Jesus. Senior saints, don't think your day's over either. Live for the Lord and stay fresh with God as senior saints who are leading this church and being exemplary to what we ought to do. Men ought always to pray and faint not. Let's bow our heads. Now here's the invitation, very brief. To you that are here, listen carefully if you will. And you cannot say, I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. You can't say that for sure. The Bible way, what the Bible says. And I'm not talking about church membership or having baby baptism or your good works. I'm talking about you really know what the Bible says. And you can sit here today and say, I just don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Then, my friend, God has given you his promise just like he did Solomon, if you'll ask him. If you'll just come, believe, and ask him, he will delight. Believe me. Young boy, young girl, anybody here, he will delight in keeping his word and saving your soul. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe there's some saved folks here. I want to ask you, what are you asking God for? Is it for his glory? Is your motive right? And what you're doing and asking for, it should be to the glory of God. Some of you are believers. You fouled up last week. You messed up last week. And you know, you dropped back into some sin that you thought you had licked. You thought you had it conquered, but you didn't. You need to come today and say, God, forgive me. And by the way, even though we're saved, we need those times where we come to God and say, God, I sinned against you, please forgive me. And we don't get saved again, but the fellowship has to be restored. I believe there are some believers who need to do that today. And there are some desires that you have, some burdens on your heart. Bring them to the Lord. Let's stand, please. Father, bless in the invitation. This is your word, and your spirit is working. And I pray that both those who are unsaved and those that are saved alike would respond to what you've spoken to them today. May your will be done, we pray in Christ's name.